Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We about to party. Unrestricted. Got the house now. We gonna turn it.
AEW Unrestricted, Aubrey and Will. It is Thursday morning. If you're listening to this on all of your favorite podcast apps, it is Monday if you're watching our beautiful faces on our YouTube channel. And it is such a great day at AEW, regardless of what day of the week it is. Speaking of which, Will, you've been at the company now long enough. I want to ask you this question.
Yeah.
So what airline do you fly normally?
I'm usually United most of the time, unless I just can't get anything else. I mean, look, I've got so many points in United, I can't turn around now.
Right. Once you're kind of like locked into the status, it's hard to turn around. But so one of my favorite things, and I was reminded of this recently when we were traveling this week, is there's a lot of people at AEW who all fly like the major airlines, right? And I'm a Delta girly. So I end up having layovers a lot just because I live in Seattle and I'm connecting in probably Atlanta.
Atlanta, or, I was going to say Minneapolis. Atlanta. Yeah. Because I'm usually Chicago as a United person. So I get that.
Right. Yeah. So it's Atlanta, it's JFK, it's Minneapolis, it's Detroit. Like it's one of those guys right there. I think Raleigh's like a new one now. But it's great because like you can pull up your app and then you look at where you are on the upgrade list. And if you've been flying a lot, you're typically up there. So like I fortunately get upgraded to first class a lot. But then on that second flight, wherever you are in your layover, you'll open the app and you're like number 30. And you're starting to look at the names of like, okay, well, this is Austin, this is Colton, this is Dustin, this is El. And you're just finding out all of these people that are like, oh no, all of my coworkers are on this flight. And they're all like 3 million milers, 4 million milers, all this stuff. And there was this moment whenever we're flying into small airports, they always tell you, okay, we're going to start boarding. They start the pre-boarding, they do, you know, service people. And then they say, you know, whatever the top tier statuses. We're only boarding that status right now. And literally everybody in the gate stands up because it's all AEW people. And you see this panic on the airport staff's face because all of a sudden they're like, no, we're only boarding Diamond right now. And everyone just collectively says, we know. And we're all getting on the plane. Everyone's like, the people that aren't Diamond are getting along with the other people. And you're trying to get everybody on the plane at once. And I'm like, at what point do we just charter jets? Like,
yeah, that's essentially where it has to go. I mean, I love those times where, you know, it is one of those, like we're traveling to a small airport kind of things. And everybody on the flight is an AEW person.
Everybody.
The one I had recently, because it was the other way around, where we traveled to Phoenix. And it was the week of the Waste Management golf tournament, which also happened in Phoenix.
Oh my God.
And so I board the plane, right? And it was like, I just bought this new shirt from H&M. And shout out to Mike Verga, who also is my fellow H&M shopper.
I love Mike Verga. He's great.
Yeah. And so that's like our common bond is that we get our clothes at H&M. But anyway, I just got this new shirt from H&M and it was kind of a golfy looking shirt, right? And so I board the plane and I looked around and this was like the first time in a while that I hadn't seen any AEW people. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Then I realized everybody here is in like a golf shirt. Wonder what that's about. And then everybody starts trying to talk to me about golf. And then somebody's like, hey, you're here for Waste Management. And I'm thinking like,
garbage
company? Yeah, I'm like, no, not at all. And they're like, oh man. But then they start talking about golf and all that. And I'm like, this is like something I feel like I need to like Google, but then pretend like I knew about. So I like pull my phone up and act like I'm like texting somebody.
You poser.
Yeah, and I'm like, waste management, golf, because these are obviously two things that go hand in hand. And like everybody's like, they just start talking about it. Long story short, I got like 10 of those people to buy Dynamite tickets that
Yay!
Night because I'm like, no, I'm actually not headed there. I'm actually headed there for AEW Dynamite. We've got a show live tonight, Phoenix, Arizona. It's at the Footprint Center. I think you should be there. We've got some cool matches, Swerve versus Hangman. Sting and Darby are challenging for the tag titles. And they're like, wait, Sting? I grew up with Sting. I need to see Sting. And so that's my airport story, is like, I always manage to find a way to sell our product to somebody. And like, if you're traveling to the city we're traveling to, and usually people are looking for things to do, I will get you in the building.
Got a pretty good suggestion.
Yeah, like, hey, have you considered coming to see some All Elite Wrestling? So just know, if you run into me at an airport, that's probably how that's going to go. But hey, Aubrey.
Yes.
This is going to be a dope show. I am confident this is going to be a great show, because my guest on the show, one of my favorite people. Who do we got here?
We are joined today by, and this is not an hyperbole, one of the funniest people I know.
Wait, what? I love it. I love hearing that.
I love it, because every time we say like, oh, you're so funny, you're like, oh, I'm funny. It's like, are you freaking kidding me? You showed up with a knife on TV. Like,
and a spoon officially.
Yes. That's right.
The spoon. Oh, my. I died. Anyway, we've got Harley Cameron here today. She is a wrestler, an actress, a freaking comedian backstage. She's just a ball of sunshine. And I'm just so happy we have her on the podcast today. So thank you so much for being here.
Do we say singer too? Because we got to get singer.
Singer,
in there as
yes.
Well.
Oh my God, guys, my head's going to explode in a second. You're being very nice.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to Unrestricted, where we just inflate your ego. So is there anything else you do that we haven't mentioned yet?
Oh, gosh. I mean, honestly, no. I think you gave me too much credit. I appreciate it.
Too much credit. Not possible. So I want to know, how were we blessed with you? How did your AEW journey come to be?
Oh my gosh, I love you guys. It's funny, it all kind of happened so quickly, which I'm so grateful for. It's definitely been a long journey, but realistically, in the grand scheme of things, I've just been very lucky, because I know that I got things a lot quicker than most people did, especially with the amount of time that I've been in the business. I'm very, very thankful to be here. I started training at Flatbacks with Sean Spears and Tyler Breeze. Essentially, the trajectory of where I was headed ended up changing, because I started, once I got my green card, I was able to do obviously indie shows and darks and so on and so forth. And I got a call one day to come in, you know, to do the dark. And I remember getting there and doing a match, but getting an entrance and then going over, and I was thinking to myself, oh, this isn't usually what the extras do. That kind of took me back a little bit, and I was thinking, what's going on? And then I was asked to cut some promos, and then before I knew it, I was in communications with a few people, and the main person being QT at the time, and they just said that they had a specific concept that was coming up that they think that I'd be perfect for. And you know, I was really, really taken back by it, because I didn't ever think, with the level of experience that I'd had in wrestling compared to a lot of people who've been in the business with other companies such as that, that it was going to be an opportunity I was given. But it really happened really quickly. And yeah, the rest is history. Now you're stuck with me.
I know. And I think that's great. I think that when you came in and QTV kind of got started, and that was where a lot of people got exposed to you very quickly. And it felt like, I think when we talk about the comedic side of things, I think that's where people kind of got exposed to your timing, your delivery, your ability to really get a pop out of people in ways where they almost aren't expecting it. And then all of a sudden you just deliver it with such a punch. What was all of that like, learning about what that role was going to be and then ending up bringing it to TV?
Honestly, it was super exciting, because, you know, I'd had an idea about the angle they were going for and everything, which ironically was perfectly suited for me, because a lot of people don't know this, but the first thing I ever studied was journalism. So I this is something I'm all too familiar with. And then obviously knowing that they were going for a comedic spin on everything, I was like, oh, wow, this is just so cool, because obviously a lot of people go in to our company with the identity that they've created for themselves, you know, on the independence and whatever. But it was very cool being given a direction, going, hey, this is what we're looking for. Can you deliver this particular character? And like, I reinvented myself for the company's angle, obviously, but it just fit perfectly to everything that I naturally enjoyed doing. So it was really cool. And the boys were great. I love working with them. We had so much fun every week. Like, we were just laughing every week. It was a really great start for me, and I'm just so thankful.
There's a lot I want to talk about from that particular time period, because again, we talk about how this kind of exposed you to the AEW audience in a lot of ways, and for better or worse, because again, we talk about the comedic timing and the comedic delivery. That's really when, you know, QTV got to tie it up with the Acclaim.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Good, good. I'm so happy that you went here.
And your stuff with Anthony Bowens, I was just over the moon about. Just the idea of one of our most outwardly, openly gay professional wrestlers. Yeah. The idea of you not only not realizing that, but thinking that he's into you, I thought was just some of the, when that was pitched initially creatively, I fell out laughing just at the absurdity of it, and knowing that if there's anybody we could trust to deliver that, it would be you.
Oh, it was honestly so fun, and everyone involved in that was just so wonderful. I also was just so thankful for the opportunity to, you know, be trusted with the microphone, like the first time that I've ever been out in the ring. And, you know, it was a whole compilation of things, like, you know, the musical side of things, the ability to be able to just cut a promo just, like, straight away to a live audience after no one knew me yet. So I definitely was excited and nervous at the same time to do, it was a, you know, a pretty big segment for my first thing, but it was just awesome. I really love the way that we got to not only be comedic and have fun with it, but it also was just like a really important and cool thing. Having that moment of seeing like the entire audience just get behind and shit, he is gay, like in such a positive.
I will never forget that. Off the top of my head, June 21st.
Yeah.
Chicago, Illinois. Mm-hmm. That moment with that Chicago crowd. I mean, I guess I have to ask.
Yeah.
In that moment, how did that feel? Because they were not letting you get a single solitary sound out of your mouth.
Yeah. Do you know what though? As a heel, it was a dream come true, because I was just like, oh my gosh, you couldn't ask for a better reaction. Like to have no ability to even speak. And it was really good to have that challenge for myself also too, to keep composure. I just love the whole thing. And also, a lot of people don't know this, but Billy is actually, he was someone who first ever trained me with the boys. So I have a lot of respect for Billy, and I look up to him so much. And he was so helpful. And I just remember like having that moment in the ring, and I was like, you know, very like overwhelmed, because I don't think any of us expected the audience to go that crazy over the segment. And I just remember him looking at me in the eyes, and he was like, in his eyes, he was like, breathe, breathe, you got this kind of thing. Like, it was very cool. And it was nice because it was kind of a full circle moment for me, because he saw me when I first ever started training. And God, when I remember back to my first days, like, he was like, oh my gosh, is this kid going to ever make it kind of thing? And now I'm in the ring. It was just very cool in all aspects. It was a very special moment. I look back very fondly on it.
I love that too, because around that time, we also introduced you as a singer to the AEW audience. Like, there was this awesome music video that we had put together.
Yeah.
How does that part of your person and that part of your training as a performer, how did that sort of come into play with all of the stuff going on with QTV?
I think it's funny because it went on like a different tangent to what was obviously ever initially outlined, but I've been a professional musician for most of my life. And thankfully the coolest thing is I have that experience with, you know, stadiums and arenas and performing live and whatever and such. But it also is something when we have we have so much creative freedom in our company, and it's really a place where I feel that if you have a skill or an interest or something that you can cross over into our world of entertainment, because it, you know, what we do is entertain, make people feel things. I always said to myself, I hope there's a way that I can mix the worlds together somehow. And obviously the Acclaim are so amazing what they do. They're so entertaining and amazing to watch. And when we knew we were going into a storyline with them, I was like, ugh. I'm somewhat of a rapper myself, you know. We were in catering one day, and I was like, maybe I'll write a rap battle kind of thing to do it. And it was honestly as quick as I wrote it. I showed some people, I very much was like, okay, we're in a company where if you put the work in and you've got the ideas and you put the effort in, then things can happen. So I wrote it. A few people were like, oh, that's pretty cool. So then I went to the studio, laid it down, and then recorded it professionally and presented it. And then people were like, oh, this is actually, you know, decent. We can do something with it. So a combination of thinking, okay, if I put the work in now, create something that's, you know, presentable and ready, then it's probably got more likelihood to come into light. So that's kind of the attitude I have in general with everything is it's a lot easier to put the work in, get it done, say, hey, here's this, watch it, see it, whatever it may be, as opposed to talking it and like verbalizing and hoping for the best. So I put it down, I showed it, and it went well, and it was just the rest is history. It was great.
So awesome. And we've only touched on like the iceberg of the stuff you've already done here at AEW, and I'm so excited to talk about more here on AEW Unrestricted.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
AEW Unrestricted, Will, Harley, Aubrey. We're having an awesome conversation about Harley Cameron, all the amazing things she does outside of the ring, all the amazing things she does on TV at AEW. And we touched a lot on sort of QTV and your introduction to the audience. But then you transitioned into this spot where you became a part of the Outcasts.
Yes.
And I love particularly the pre-tape where you got introduced, like you came into the frame and then suddenly there's a butcher knife.
Yeah.
Like, I need to know how this whole thing happened.
First of all, I'm so thankful because the girls are amazing. I love them. And honestly, I'm just still blown away by the fact that, you know, I went through the transition of thinking, oh my gosh, my faction's over. What's next? I'm like, you know, kind of thing. And then next minute I'm with two of the most amazing women that I've looked up to most of my career. And it's just kind of like, oh, pinch me. Is this even happening? You know, so when everything got put together and approved for me to be with them, I was so excited. And they were kind of like, how are we going to introduce you into this, you know, make it work into the storyline and everything, of course. And I definitely wanted to have a different approach to my character based outside of what I did in QTV. And I, again, was like, we're in a company where you can be anything if it's like, if it works and you do it well. And I thought, you know, the best thing possible could be like this crazier version of myself. You know, I'm a bit of a ball of energy, a little bit wacko.
A little bit.
And I thought, a little bit. And we basically were just like, okay, we can kind of roll with this concept and just amplify it and make it a larger than life thing for something that already comes organically to me, and brainstorming how to introduce me. And I think we were sitting again at catering one day, kind of like talking about it. And I think we were, Will, I'm pretty sure you were there.
I was around for a lot of this process.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Everything with, because you talked about the dissolution of the faction and brainstorming ideas of essentially what to do with you next. And
yes.
Yeah, we had a lot of conversation that led essentially to this.
Yes. I'm pretty sure I was sitting at the table. I think I remember like eating like some chicken, and I remember having the knife in my hand, and I was like, they were talking about how, like, you know, obviously Soraya was like getting me to like infiltrate system with like Ruby and Jeff and whatever, and like, you know, be like, she's, you know, hiring me to like, you know, do all this stuff and whatever. And she was like, yeah, and you can be like, you know what you got to do next. And then I'm pretty sure it started with me, like, I had like a breadstick. And I was like, yeah, I should be like, and snap the breadstick. And then I was like, ah, no, it's too vicious. And then we had like, I had a butter knife next to me. And I was like, what if I was like, yeah, pull out this knife? And they were like, what the fuck, that works, that works.
And literally you went to catering and went and got one of the knives out of catering.
I know. I walked in with it and everyone was like, what the hell is happening? The guys at catering are so nice though. I was like, have you guys got a knife, like a big one, bigger than this butter knife? And they gave me this gigantic butcher's knife. And I was like, oh, yeah, I can work with that. Yeah. I wrapped it in sellotape, though, to be safe.
There we go.
Right? And then, you know, that inspired other things, that what you have witnessed already with the old knifey spoonie was none other than the brilliant creation of Mr. Will Washington. He was like, you know what?
All right, look, I'm going to tell, I'll be completely honest about this. About 90% of my knowledge of Australia is from that one episode of The Simpsons.
Well, I mean, that's too much.
It's an entire parody of Australia. I mean, like, I think a lot about the line where, you know, Bart does the prank call. Dude is like super offended and he's like, this is a travesty. I'm going to tell me local member of parliament. Yeah. Hey, Gus, you won't believe this. And like, and he's like, oh, we got to take this all the way to the prime minister.
Yeah.
Hey, Andy.
Yeah.
And like that whole bit, like all of it, that there's just so much I think about. Right. And the moment you had said knife, but you said it with your accent, of course. And so I keep hearing knife, like the way the guy said it on that episode, which it was the parody of Crocodile Dundee, right? Where he's like, you call that a knife? This is a knife. And you kept saying it. And this just kept replaying in my head. And I'm like, I have to do something with this on TV. This has to happen. And so the moment it happened, I literally pulled you aside and I'm like, we've got to do Knifey Spoonie on TV.
Yeah,
and
I knew exactly what you meant straight away.
And the funny thing is, nobody else did. No, Saraya was like, what the hell is Knifey Spoonie? And you and me are just like giggling to ourselves of like, yeah, we're going to get Knifey Spoonie on TV.
Yes. Well, I would like to directly look in the camera. Wait, there's the brilliance of that came from Will Washington. That is his full credit to him. Knifey Spoonie is his baby.
I literally brought the spoon from my house.
Oh, yeah, I know. Let's discuss the spoon situation. It was a ladle.
Sure.
I was expecting
it was not a spoon.
And you without this pasta ladle. And I was like,
yeah, okay. So here's the thing. Keep in mind, the first knife bit happened on the December 28th episode of Dynamite. And we didn't do Knifey Spoonie till the February 16th episode of Rampage. So we're talking like 2 months went by.
It was timed out, yes.
Yeah. And in those 2 months, I had been thinking, like, okay, is this Knifey Spoonie Day? Is this Knifey Spoonie Day? And I remember as we were traveling to Austin, Texas, right as I'm packing all my stuff up for work, I'm like, this is Knifey Spoonie Day.
Yeah.
We are going to get Knifey Spoonie on TV today. There's no other day this is going to happen. And I start opening my drawers because I'm like, I cannot count on there being a spoon at TV. And I start opening my drawers and I find like a regular size spoon. And I'm like, you know what? It needs to be like cartoonishly comical. Like it needs to be super large. And so that's when I like open another drawer and I find like the freaking pasta ladle. And I'm like, okay, this is big enough for it to be as comedically large as it needs to be.
When you pulled it out at work, I died.
I had some other stuff happen at work that day. And so like you had given it back to me and I had been like kind of nervously like kind of holding it and I snapped it, right?
I know,
and
when you said you snapped it. Wait, why did you snap it?
Yeah, it was literally just like, you ever, like, out of a nervous habit, you're, like, playing with stuff. And, like, I had just been, like, kind of, I've been fidgeting around with it in my hand, and all of a sudden, it snapped. And I go, oh, crap, I got to explain this to my wife at home that I pulled one of our kitchen utensils.
Forget the promo.
Yeah.
Well, the promo had already been done, so it was like, at least we got it done for the promo.
Okay, good.
But
now I have to
explain that I took a kitchen utensil
right?
to work.
No more pasta night for you, mate. You're going to have to.
Yeah, and not only did I take it to work to use on TV, but I snapped it in the process, and who knows? Might sell it on eBay now because it's...
You should. It's hit things, you know what I'm saying? Might be worth a little bit of money.
I just watched this thing and I am dying when I saw it. And if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't seen it, go to the AEW YouTube channel, find the episode of TV, and it is just hilarious. Like,
I mean, the best part was having to explain this to Saraya, who had never seen this episode of The Simpsons, didn't know the entire concept of anything. And I'm like, okay, just trust me on this one. It's going to work. You just have to trust me. And you knew the moment I said it. And so that was all great. But honestly, just working with you guys all together, when the original pitch happened, I want to say it was like November-ish.
Yeah.
That was where the original pitch of you with the Outcasts came together. And yeah, it was just something that the moment it was said, you just visually, we knew this was it. Mm-hmm. This was going to work on TV. We knew that you guys looked the part together, and the role of you being kind of their insane friend. You're the the rescue.
Yeah, I am.
The rescue.
Yeah.
I was rescued from QTV. I was left.
But just the idea of it, I think, has worked out so well. You biting Stokely's hand, like all of that.
Oh my God. There's all these things I keep forgetting that happened, and then I'm being reminded of during the course of this podcast. And I'm just like, oh my God, that was hilarious. That was hilarious. Like this whole, like your involvement in this was just so freaking good.
it's been so awesome. Like I said, the girls have just been amazing, and we just have such a good dynamic. And the cool thing is we're friends and we get along, and it's just awesome. I feel like when you organically have that with somebody and you are friends, there's just a level of like natural chemistry that happens, and I think it's been transpiring well.
Everything kind of just plays off each other, like everything just makes sense, and you on the outside of the ring and the silly things you're saying and all of this awesome stuff. And I'm just so happy that happened. I remember being in the locker room the day that you guys all got paired together, and I think all three of you walked in at once, and Soraya's like, yeah, I'm really glad we're doing this thing. And I'm like, what are you guys doing? They're like, oh, yeah. Harley's joining the Outcast. I'm like, oh, that makes all the sense in the world. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things that's just like in your face, so obvious, but you somehow didn't see it until it happens. And then it's great. Yeah. The chemistry you guys have together is phenomenal.
Thank you. I love it. I'm having the best time, and I'm just very thankful. You know, it's been honestly just like it's been like a dream come true, but it's sad, so corny, but it really has. It's been so wonderful, and I'm just very happy, you know?
So I wanted to talk a little bit. I wanted to go back to something you said in our first segment, in which you talked about journalism.
Yes.
So let's talk about this. You had a scholarship for journalism.
I did. I got a collegiate scholarship to study journalism at Bond University in Australia, which was very, very amazing because it's a very great university. I think I was 16 when I first started university. I graduated high school very young, so I was studying that at 16. So, gosh, that was a while ago. But doing it, I did work in journalism for a while, and there was a lot of it. I was like, okay, I definitely enjoyed it, but it wasn't my biggest passion, dream, whatever. I always wanted to be in entertainment. So I think when I started getting more into entertainment, I knew, okay, I'm going to go this direction now. But I'm definitely glad that I did it. I'm thankful for the knowledge, the experience and everything like that. And I did a lot of cool stuff at a very young age. But yeah, that's one of the things that I've got in the back pocket just in case one day when I'm like, what else could I do now? I'm 80.
Oh my God. I want this so much now. Harley Cameron as Barbara Walters.
Yeah. Well, I got to relive it in QTV, you know, I got to be a journalist again for a little bit, which is nice.
You did.
Yeah.
You've just got a fascinating story coming from Australia to America. We've only touched the surface of it. I want to talk about that more when we come back here on AEW Unrestricted.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
AEW Unrestricted. Aubrey, Will, I'm pointing at myself. You're not watching this on camera. I don't know why I did that. But
Monday's on YouTube.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say on YouTube, it all makes sense. And we, of course, are still joined by our guest, the one and only Harley Cameron. Harley. You talked a little bit about some of the people you were already friends with. You mentioned having a friendship with Soraya and Ruby.
Yeah.
But you've also had a number of friends just all throughout professional wrestling. I mean, you and Mariah getting to work together, I think. When I talk about two of the funniest people I know. And
oh, my God.
A lot of times when I'm just eating lunch with you guys and I'm like having to play it straight because you both of you crack me up so much. How's it been having Mariah around?
I'm so happy she's here. It's actually, a lot of people don't know this, but we have like a full circle friendship moment like that has come together. So obviously she's one of my best friends in the entire world, probably my best friend. We actually met at WrestleCon 2 years ago, and this was before she'd gone to Japan, and I had had one match. I had one match. So funnily enough, actually the end of next month, I've been wrestling for 2 years. That's how quickly all this happened for me.
Congrats.
I'd literally just had my first match against Scarlett Bordeaux. I was already just like out there doing signings and just doing whatever I could, you know, obviously trying to build my brand, build my name, but I was at the very beginning of my career. So we met there and I was like, oh my God, who's this pretty girl? I need to say hello to this beautiful woman. I was like, oh, I need to get near her. She's so pretty. And I went over and we chatted and hit it off right away. If you know me, I'm a bit of a social butterfly. I like to make friends, chat and all that jazz.
You don't say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
And so we met and we hit it off straight away and we like kind of like hung out a little bit that weekend and kind of shared stories about like our goals and aspirations. And neither of us at the time had the ability to work in America like properly. Like we were like, I was doing stuff for free. She was doing stuff for free because we didn't have the ability to do so. So we had to volunteer a lot and we hit it off. And I was doing a few months after this, a modeling event in Canada and they needed some more girls. And I would just instantly thought of her and I was like, oh, I've got the perfect girl. She's gorgeous. Good friend of mine. She came over to Canada and we did this modeling event there for a while together and just got even closer and, you know, had stayed in touch this entire time. And I remember we were actually like just one night we were having dinner and like spent the day together and we were like, let's manifest that we're going to be working in America. We're going to be signed. We're going to be together and we're going to like start a tag team. And we just, at that moment, like jotted all these like goals and stuff down we had. And then she went, you know, her way and I went my way and started getting out of the indies here in America. My green card finally came through thanks to the other company. And I got to start, you know, getting out there and actually like wrestling and working and stuff. And she was killing it in Japan. And then before I knew it, I got contract offer. And then I, you know, she got offered and we very often just sit and like reflect on how special that is for us because we made what we said we wanted to have happen. And we were like, oh my gosh, it's just like crazy. Like to think where we were and in the short period of time where we've come now. And now I get to be at work with my best friend every day. And it's very special.
Seeing the two of you together is just always so funny. And like the comments on each other's social posts, I die every time.
Yeah, I'm very proud of her. She's a good one. She's a very talented, special person in my life. And I'm very proud to, you know, be working with her. And we actually were going to tag and it never came to fruition because of just some external stuff. But it's funny, we've got all like these like posters and like merch stuff like made up for our tag team that we never got to have happen. And I'm like, you never know. One day in life, it might happen. We're here now. So very cool. Very cool to have her here.
Well, I wanted to ask you about two of your other friends. One of the first places that wrestling fans kind of got exposed to you musically was the theme song for The Inspiration.
Yes, Cass and Jess, love them.
How did that friendship come to be and how did that theme song opportunity come?
So as I said earlier, Sean Spears is my coach and trained me and I met Cassie through him. Obviously, I knew of them through wrestling and everyone knew who they were, you know, done amazing things in their careers. But through the course of training, I became very close friends, obviously with Spears and Breeze as my coaches. And then Cassie would come in quite often and then we just hit it off and clicked, you know, us Australians too, we get along pretty well, but, she's also just become one of my best friends now. Both of them have, I think they knew me on a personal level and the fact that I composed music and everything as such, I'd released a song recently, I think maybe like a year ago with Scarlett and Shotzi and they we put that out, and I knew that they were aware of that. And then they knew about all the performance stuff I was doing musically in America. And when they were going to reinvent themselves and debut again at Impact, they were like, hey, we're looking for a new theme song. Can you write it for us? And I was like, oh yeah, 100%. And the inspiration came together, and I was like, what do you want it to sound like? And they were like, okay, we want it to be like Christina Aguilera meets Britney Spears, like old school.
Oh, that's perfect for you.
Yeah. And I was like, hell yeah. So it was really fun. And I actually love that song. It's one of my favorite songs I've written. They loved it. We're happy with it. We did a video for it. It was very cool. So it was really special to be a part of that. I've actually written music now for, I think, like almost every major wrestling company, which has been pretty cool.
Ooh, that's a nice little checkbox on the resume.
Yeah.
I didn't know this. I was reading the notes and stuff because we talk about like your music background and singing and whatnot, but you were actually in a rock band when you were 13.
Yes. Yes.
How do you end up in a rock band at 13?
Oh my gosh. So I was such a nerd in school, but I had the coolest music teacher ever. And he heard me sing when I was like, gosh, again, keep in mind, I was like above my years in high school in the respect that I was very young in high school. I don't know what happened. I don't know what I skipped, but I ended up like being super young. But when I was 13, I was like in year 10, I think. And we had music as a class for an elective. But my music teacher, his name's Russ Timms, legend. Thanks for everything, bud. He heard me sing, and then I was like, you should pursue singing. And then I had other guys in my school that were pretty good musicians, and we formed a little band, and we started entering like Battle of the Bands and like doing like gigs and stuff. And we actually did quite some cool stuff when we were really young, and that was like the starting point for me to getting into performing. So we were out doing like shows at, you know, like local little like cafes and like pubs where you're allowed to have underage kids in and stuff around 14 onwards. So I've been performing since about then, but I'm definitely a rock girl at heart. I love singing rock and roll.
Yeah, that's probably one of the things that you and I talk about the most is usually it's something involving music.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, the first text from you I have in my phone is just the word Mariah Carey. And I don't remember why, but it's literally, if I scroll all the way to the top, it's just you texting me her name.
Mariah Carey. So do you know what I remember? So I feel like you and I hadn't conversed as like much. And then I posted a thing on Twitter, which I don't even know. I need to get better at Twitter. Okay. I don't understand it. It's not big in Australia, so I need to figure it out. So anyway, I think I posted on Twitter, I was singing Dream On, and I hit the whistle tones.
That's what it was. Uh-huh.
Yes. And then we spoke because you were like, you can whistle like Mariah. And I was like, oh, yeah. Like, I was like, and then we kind of like started talking about Mariah Carey and everything. And then I think that like our friendship like kind of developed from there. Cause I was like, you're a Mariah Carey fan. And then you were like, look at my t-shirt. I'm wearing the Mariah Carey t-shirt. And I was like, okay, well, you've got good taste.
I think I remember the first conversation you and I ever had. It was one of the most unfortunate parts of being in pro wrestling, where it was one of the airport vultures had hit you and had you sign a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
And then you kind of walked away from it. And I'd remembered a piece of wisdom I got from my good friend, old Trish Stratus, where she had noted that a good way to kind of curb those is to, you know, always sign them. But first thing you do is ask for their name, mm-hmm. because you know they're intending to sell all of this. But you say, oh, yeah, I'm happy to sign it. What's your name?
Yeah.
And then you sign the name, you've personalized it, and it's officially no good to sell at that point, and it becomes a personal item. And we had talked about that in that moment. That was like the first conversation we had. And after that, we just kind of talked about stuff. And then, I don't know.
Yes.
I'm still trying to get you to finish watching Beef on Netflix.
I know. Hey, we're getting there. It's got me hooked from the first episode. But you know what I will say? I have taken your advice on board, and I now do that. So you have forever changed my signing approach at the airport. So I'm like, oh, what is your name? Yes, huh? Everyone's going to watch this and know. We've revealed our secrets.
I'll reveal my secret. My secret is I don't sign at airports. I'll be like, I don't sign, but I'll take a photo.
Okay.
And it's so funny to see how many people go, okay, cool. And then they'll just walk away.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'm slightly offended.
Yes.
That you didn't want a photo.
Yes. It's funny. One thing I'm getting used to is like when I first would travel, like obviously our travel days, you know, you have the routine of like, you like do this and you get tanned and blah, 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 blah. And you're on long flights. So we're wearing comfortable clothes. And then there's been so many times where I've got layers of fake tan on that I haven't washed and my hair's a mess and I'm looked disheveled and I'm in like a tracksuit and everyone's like, Holly, can I get a photo? And I was like, yes, no. Absolutely. This is the best time to get a photo. So I'm gradually learning too. I'm like, oh, I need to be a little bit more presentable in public, you know?
That's why I just do the hat and no makeup all the time, because then people know exactly what they're getting.
Yeah. Well, hat gals. Can't go wrong with the hat.
Hat gals hides the dirty hair.
That's right.
Before we wrap up, I want to tell one of my favorite stories about Harley ever. And it was actually on the Jericho cruise recently. So she,
This is the best.
So she got to wrestle on the cruise, which was fantastic. It was the first time I got to work with her and it was great. And it was awesome. It was with Abaddon. There was spanking. It was wild. It's exactly what you expect out of a cruise match. And your heel work in that was so good that you immediately turned the entire boat against you. Yeah. And then, and I think it was later that night, RJ City had a show and it was like, whose line is it anyway with wrestlers?
Yeah.
Like he didn't tell me anything about it. And I'm just like, sure, yeah, I'm going to do this thing. I don't really care what it is. And then as he's explaining it, it now is becoming terrifying because you are doing these comedy skits with Colt Cabana, with Johnny TV, with Santino Morella. Like you're doing all this stuff.
Very fun.
And Harley got so screwed.
I did.
Because the whole point.
Thank you.
Oh my God.
Thank you. Listen to this, RJ. Listen, I hope you're listening, RJ.
Oh my God. So the way it worked is that you got voted out based on the amount of boos. Like it wasn't cheers. It was boo for the person you like the least.
That's right.
And everyone was like, boo, 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 boo. And then it gets to Harley. It's just boo. And the crowd is just, she hates it.
Oh.
You're given 90 seconds to basically say your piece. And I think you went up to the top turnbuckle and started like visually doing things that I can't describe on this podcast.
I was robbed. Okay, so the thing is, I was funny. I was very funny.
You were very funny.
But the thing is, it was an unfair just system. Maybe, just maybe, RJ should think into the effect that if you are a heel on this show, that if you are a good heel, which I clearly am, you do not have justice for your humor. So I got voted off too quickly and I was enraged. I was upset. So I had to do what any normal person would do in this situation, which we cannot speak on here, and I'll tell you in private. But I'm just letting you know that I was robbed, and I appreciate you pointing that out, Aubrey. I love this. I can't wait for RJ to watch this because he just got like to admit.
What a jerk.
Funny I am. This is good. This is good for me. I'm glad we have this recorded evidence.
See, it should have been loudest reaction. It should have
That's
been.
That's right. And then I would have taken home the gold.
Right.
But we can't always have things go our way, you know. But you know what? It was very fun. And his show was actually so great. And he's very talented. And it was wonderful. And I was happy to be a part of it. You know, I did my part. I got off. There's no such thing as small parts, just small actors. And I made it the most of the little time I had. And I deserve to be there.
You did me a service because I was very panicked about getting voted out first. And I was like, Okay, good. Harley took the bullet. We're all good now. I think I was like the fourth one out. So thank you so much for that. It gave me the little confidence to go up against these like professional improv comedian wrestlers. Oh my God. It was one of those moments. I'm so glad a lot of that stuff isn't recorded because it was real bad.
I know. I mean, I'm sure the footage will get out one day.
Ugh, boy.
Did I do that? Oops.
I want to know what I missed here now.
I'll tell you next week.
Oh, you got to get on the boat.
Yeah.
It's a wild experience.
Yeah. Actually, I'm pretty sure we're getting the footage back soon. So I'll let you see.
Oh, no.
Let me tell you, though, it's not going to shock you, really. You know what I'm like.
Yeah, I mean, I know you. So this is, So I guess I want to wrap with this question here.
Yes.
Where does Harley Cameron see herself? You know, you were just only a couple of years in, so this isn't like something where we've even gotten to scratch the surface of who Harley Cameron is, what Harley Cameron can do.
Yeah.
Let's fast forward 5 years' time.
Sure.
What is the goal for what you want the world to have seen from Harley Cameron?
I think that essentially, you know, people are still getting to know me, and I haven't debuted yet in the ring wrestling.
That's true.
I also am just very aware of the rare and lucky position that I have, because I honestly think when I think about it that I'm probably on our roster, like in respect of like years in the ring, I'm probably the newest, I think. So I'm so grateful for everything that has happened so far. I'm really, really appreciative that I've been able to showcase my personality and what I can do in respect of creativity, promos, so on and so forth. But I definitely would love to be in the ring soon and kind of tie everything together. I definitely think people don't know. This is like the tip of the iceberg. And I'm actually, even though I love everything I've been doing, I'm so passionate about the physicality of the wrestling. Every day I'm home, I'm in the ring. I train every single day that I'm home, and I'm really excited for that opportunity. Everyone's got a different journey and a different path. And, you know, some people want the belts and some people want this and that. I just want to leave an impression, be remembered, and make people feel something. Because I think at the end of the day, that's like the ultimate goal, is to be remembered. And whatever Tony decides my role is in the company to do so, I'm going to go 100% with it. But I definitely would love to, you know, show the world everything I can do. So everything's been going great so far. And I hope that 5 years from now that I can look back and be like, I did everything that I wanted to achieve, which is, you know, the whole grand scheme of things. I want to be in every aspect, in the ring, on the mic, just making people feel something. And I'm lucky because I'm with AEW and I get the chance to do that. So fingers crossed that everything just keeps going as good as it's been going.
I have a feeling it will, just purely because you're the kind of person that when you want something, you put the work in, you show the effort. Like even just your story about the music video, like, oh, I'm going to record this thing. I'm just going to make this happen for myself.
Yeah.
You are the epitome of hustler. And you do it with grace and positivity. And I feel like that has to be rewarded in some fashion. So I'm so excited that I get to be a part of your journey and I get to see it and get to see all of the success that you're experiencing and you will experience. And I thank you for being here today.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate both of you. I appreciate all of you. We're our company rocks. I love being with AEW. Everyone's awesome. And I'm just excited for what the future holds. It's just the beginning.
Just the beginning. Yeah. There's so much AEW on TV all over the place. You can watch Dynamite Wednesdays on TBS. You can watch Rampage Fridays on TNT. You can watch Collision on Saturdays on TNT. And you can watch ROH Honor Club Thursdays. Yeah, do it. Watch up. And then you might see Harley with, you know, just kitchen utensils all over the place.
That's right. I mean, like, what's next? A spatula, maybe. We'll get creative.
We'll see. We'll get like a whisk in there or something.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll make sure to pack the spatula before I leave next time.
And don't break it this time, Will. Yes. Don't break it this time.
Yes. No, my wife told me I owe her a whole new set, so that's what I
have to do. Hey, there you go. That's all it takes. I'm Aubrey Edwards, along with Will Washington and our special guest, Harley Cameron. Thank you so much for listening to AEW Unrestricted.
Thanks for having me, guys. Love you.
Come on, throw your hands up, let me see you. Unrestricted, got the house now. We gon' turn it up, bring the house down. Got that big space pumping, make